this has been wonderful so far. And I love it when the Lord just speaks to many different ones and He has a theme. He has a certain message that He wants to get to us. And that's what He's been doing all morning with the wonderful worship that Grace gave us, and then the verses, especially last week's verse, about the Father's love and how much He loves us, and the different ones that have spoken to, you know, tell us God really does love us. And Daryl asked me to share my testimony, and I'm honored to do that. Haven't done it in a long time, although I do it frequently one-on-one with people that come for ministry. Just bits and pieces of it I'm able to share as the Lord leads. So I have 30 minutes exactly. So this is going to be a very condensed version of my journey of faith with the Lord Jesus. And Daryl asked me to kind of look for a theme in my testimony. And immediately when he asked me that, I knew what it was, because it's been my life since I was about 4 years old, and through the years growing up, and especially when I surrendered to the Lord completely at 25 years old. Since then, this theme has been, it's really what the Lord has wanted to help me to understand so that I can fulfill the plan and purpose that He has for my life. And you know, as Christians, every one of us, God has a plan for you. He has some things He wants you to do, and He has things that He wants me to do. But until I matured in this understanding that He wanted me to mature in, I couldn't really fulfill the plan and purpose that He had for me. So it's been a journey throughout my life, and I'm still on that journey. I think I'll be on that journey until I stand face to face looking at Jesus' face. But what the Lord has wanted me to learn is that He loves me. He loves me. And I think I want to start with a short testimony of something that happened recently. It actually happened, I guess it was last year, but a few months ago. But in December 23rd, 2009, I was in a car accident. I was going down Holden Road, and a lady, they say they think she may have hit a patch of black ice. She lost control of her car. She jumped the medium, and she hit me head on. And my car, I lost control, and I jumped the medium, and I'm headed through traffic, two lanes of traffic, towards some trees. And my car was totaled. Very much so. But my little granddaughter, she was 5 at the time, I guess. She was in the car in the back seat, but we were not really injured. I bit my tongue. That was about it, and had some whiplash. But and then in May of the following year, last year, I was in another accident. And didn't really get injured very bad in that one, but messed up a dear friend's car. That was the worst thing. But what happened to me because of those two car accidents I was in is fear tried to come to me in a big, big way. And so, therefore, anytime I had to get in a car with someone and they were driving and I was in the passenger seat, I really struggled with fear. I mean, it was just with me, gripping me every single time. Sometimes it got me even when I was driving. It wasn't quite so bad when I drove, because I felt like I had a little bit of control. But when you're in the passenger seat, you don't have any control, do you? So I was really, really struggling with fear. And finally, our cell group got together one night, and I asked the ladies there to minister to me. I said, I need y'all to minister to me, because I am really struggling with this fear, and I want to get free. And so they really ministered to me and prayed for me. But Carol Lyles read a scripture to me, and it's in 1 John 4. Love, love, love this chapter. I think the Apostle John is my favorite of all the writers. I just love him. I love to read his writings. I think it's because he was absolutely convinced that God loved him. He knew the love of God. But in 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." So I told you I'm on a journey, right? I haven't arrived yet, but I'm getting better. I haven't been made perfect in love yet, but I'm a lot better than I used to be. But this was just another thing the enemy tried to bring to me. So Carol read that verse to me, and she said, "Elaine, whenever you're in a car and that fear tries to grip you, you just start telling yourself, 'God loves me. God loves me.'" Well, I got a hold of that. It sounds really simple, but I really got a hold of it. And so I started doing that. Every time I was in a car and the fear, every time, would try to come to me, I just started saying, "God loves me. God loves me. God loves me." You know, we got to make it personal. You know, I know God loves Nancy Bodie. Do all of you know that? You know, I know he loves Daryl. I know he loves Hilda. But does he love me? Sometimes it's a little more difficult to really, really believe that God loves me. Because I know me. You know you. I know what I've done. I know what I've thought. And you know yourself that way. And so we struggle sometimes with the truth. And it is the truth. God loves me. And so I started saying that every time I'd get in a car and that fear would come. I started saying it, and every time it worked. Every single time that fear left me. And I did it a lot. I mean, because the fear came every time I was in a car. Because, see, I remembered the wrecks. I remembered the trauma. Trauma always comes if you're in a car accident. You need to take authority over it. But that trauma came and fear came, and I guess I didn't take authority over it. I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, it came. But every time I told myself God loved me, it left. Perfect love casts out fear. And that's what we need to understand about God's love. And that's what he's been teaching me over the years, is his love is not the kind of love that Armin loves Nancy. Well, no, I take that back. He does love Nancy as Christ loves the church, right? I better use somebody else. It's not human love. Our human love is conditional. It's weak. It can get tired. It wants to quit loving, you know. But God's love is perfect. His love is absolutely 100% totally unconditional. It's not based on what we do or what we don't do, what we have done in the past or haven't done in the past. That has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with his love, because his love is unconditional, and I can prove it. It's the same chapter. I got proof. 1 John 4, let's see, I think it's 8 through 10. Let me find that. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So the proof is, I keep feeling like I'm falling. The proof is, did you deserve it? Did I deserve for Jesus to get on that cross and suffer and die the way he did for me, for you? Did we deserve it? Everybody shake your head no, please. None of us deserve it. Nobody that's ever taken a breath deserved Jesus, the perfect Son of God, the sinless Son of God, to die and give his life for us. So get that out of your thinking completely. You don't have to deserve it. None of us deserve it. But he loves us. Not only that, he is love. He is love. So, okay. Now I'm going to go way back in history to when I was 4 years old. And I had two experiences. These are my earliest memories, my very earliest memories, too. The first one, I was touched by God in a profound way at 4 years old. The second one happened shortly after. I was touched by evil in a profound way. So, 4 years old, my daddy got saved, radically saved. He was an alcoholic. He was a womanizer. He was a partier. And he got saved when my mama was pregnant with me. And he fell in love with Jesus. So he made sure we were all in church every time the doors were open. Thank God for that. So we went to church one Sunday morning. I was 4 years old. Now, I don't have many memories when I was real young, because when bad things happen to little children, they try to forget the bad thing, and therefore a lot of the good things they forget as well. But these two memories I do remember. So we went to church, and I had a big family. At that time, there were only four children. Later, my mom and dad had two other children, but there were only five. So we went to church, and we were sitting across the pew, all the little children, and the preacher started preaching, and something happened to me, and I've never forgotten it. I mean, I can remember it just like it was yesterday, and I don't think I fully understood, of course, a four-year-old wouldn't, what was happening to me. But in retrospect, now knowing what I know, I understand what happened to me. It was the Holy Spirit drawing me. It was the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to me. It was the Holy Spirit revealing God's love to me in a very profound way. And a little four-year-old, all the other children were cutting up and laughing and distracted. I could not take my eyes off that preacher. I was hanging on every word he was saying. Throughout the whole sermon, I listened very intently. But it was because God was revealing to me his love for me. He was revealing Jesus to me. And I've never forgotten that experience. And I guess it was the first time I ever really had that kind of encounter with the love of God, with the Lord Jesus. Then shortly thereafter, I don't know how long it was. I think it was the same year, because I remember where we lived. My mom took me up to my bedroom for an afternoon nap, put me down, and went to sleep. She left. And I was awakened by an uncle who proceeded to molest me. And I was an innocent little four-year-old girl. I didn't know what was happening to me. But now, in retrospect, I know what happens to a child when they're molested, because I know the enemy. I didn't know the enemy then, but I know the enemy now, and I know what he does. And so I was very confused, frightened. He told me not to tell anybody, so I was very frightened, and I felt like I couldn't share it with anybody, and I didn't until I was around 30 years old. I never told a soul what happened to me. And anytime that happens to a little child, the enemy comes with shame, with guilt. Even though I was an innocent little child, I was the victim, not the, I didn't do anything wrong. But I still felt guilt. I felt dirty. I felt like a bad little girl. I felt the shame, the fear, all those things the enemy tries to come and bring to us. And so, in Mark 4, most of you are familiar with that chapter, so or so's the word. Remember that story? And some is sown by the wayside, and when Jesus is telling them what it meant, he said that Satan comes immediately to try to steal the word that was sown. And I think that's what he did. He came very quickly because God had done something to me. He had touched my life, and Satan came to try to steal that from me. And So what happened to me over the next years was fear just kept perpetuating itself in my life. And I grew up with a spirit of fear. And if you don't know what that means, it means something had control of me. It had me in prison. And I've developed all kinds of fear, all kinds of fear. And I didn't know what to do about it, didn't know any, I could do anything about it. Although, I went to church until my daddy died when I was 14, and we kind of got away from church after a while. But I didn't know what to do with the fear. It was debilitating at times. It tried to paralyze me. It really limited me with things I could do or would do in my relationships. It really limited me. When I was in school, I was very, very shy. I was afraid of people. That was one of the big fears I had. I was so afraid of people. And after that molestation occurred, now remember, he woke me up. I was asleep. He woke me up. So after that happened, I started having a reoccurring nightmare. Almost every night, I would wake up screaming because I would dream that somebody was chasing me and I had to get away from them. And so that fear was there in a very real way. Well, the Lord wanted me to know His love. And the Bible says that, like we just read a while ago in 1 John 4, that perfect love casts out fear. And that's God's love. God's love is perfect. And that's what deals with fear. That's what casts out fear. And so my journey was the Lord revealing His love to me over the years and delivering me from fear. And one particular time, this was just, God set me up. Has God ever set you up? I mean, He really set me up. And I was clueless that I was being set up. But I was married, and my husband had won a trip to Switzerland for 10 days for two. And we were just so blessed. I was walking with the Lord then, and I just felt, this is just a blessing of the Lord. This is wonderful. But then I had to realize what that entailed. I would have to get in an airplane and fly. I had never flown, never intended to fly, because I was terrified to fly. Not only that, I would have to fly over an ocean. I was terrified of water. Terrified. Not only that, when we got there, we learned that we were going to be a part of a tour. And they were going to take us up to one of the highest mountains in Europe, the Eiger Mountain, which is 13,025 feet at the top. And we were going to climb that mountain. And I thought, there is no way. There is no way I can do that. Uh-uh. I was so terrified of heights. But my husband had worked very hard for this, and he won. And he was so excited. And I knew it was such a wonderful opportunity. I had never traveled abroad, hardly traveled at all, even in the States. And so I knew it was wonderful, and I knew I had to go. Okay, I mean, I just knew, Elaine, you're not going to get out of this. You're going to have to face your fears, okay? And I accepted that, but I told the Lord, I cannot do this. I don't have the courage. It's not in me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability to do this. But you're going to have to help me. It's the only way I can do this. It's the only way I can go. It's the only way I can get on the airplane. It's the only way I can know I'm flying over all that water. And it's the only way I could go up that mountain. But He was with me every step of the way. It was hard. I'll never forget when we were going to go up to the mountain. Just traveling from Lucerne, Switzerland to the mountain, we had to get in a bus and drive through the Alps to get there. Well, their roads, oh my goodness, there's no shoulder. And we're in the Alps, you guys, in the Alps. And you look down for probably several thousand feet. And you look across, and there's waterfalls coming down that mountain. I mean, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But I remember I was in that bus. Thank God I had sunglasses on. It was in the summer. And I was sitting at the window, which I was very thankful, because I could turn my head, and my husband and no one else knew that I was crying because I was so terrified. And I hadn't even gotten to the mountain that we were going to climb yet. Got to the mountain. They put us in this train that goes inside the mountain. It's an internal railway system. It's the highest railway system in Europe. And they put us in there, and we start, it's dark, because you're inside of a mountain. But, you know, we go through the mountain, up the mountain, I don't know how many thousand feet, and until they stop, we get out, and it's really awesome. You're in this little restaurant, gift shop, and it's all windows, and you just have this beautiful view of the Alps. And I thought, oh, this is beautiful. Praise the Lord. And then they told us to look out, and there was an aerial cable car hanging on a cable. And it was all glass. And we were going to get in it, and it was going to take us up to the top of that mountain. And I looked at my husband, and I said, there is no way I can do that. No way. I cannot do it. I want you to go. Please go. I'm going to stay right here in this restaurant, and I'll be here when you get back. He said, I'm not going if you're not going. Please, please go. I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. I can't, Bill. I can't do this. He said, okay, I understand, but I'm not going without you. So I just step away, and I'm talking to the Lord inside of myself, and I said, God, oh, God, help me. I can't spoil this for him. We've come all this way. I can't be the reason that he's going to give this up because of my fear. God, you've got to help me. And my husband came over and he said, Elaine, just get in it and close your eyes. Don't open your eyes. Just keep your eyes closed the whole time. And I said, all right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get in. I'm going to close my eyes. And so I got in and it was crowded, a lot of people. And we were right at the glass. I mean, we were surrounded by glass. And I closed my eyes real tight. And I was determined to keep my eyes closed the whole time. And it started moving. And we were on it for a little while. But anyway, when it started moving, I started hearing these oohs and ahs and oh. And my husband touched me. He said, Elaine, you have got to open your eyes. I said, no way, I'm not opening my eyes. He said, Elaine, you will never see anything this beautiful. You have got to see this. It will take your breath away. So slowly, very, very slowly, I started opening my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I mean, that fear left me because I was just in awe of what I saw. The glory of God is what I saw. I mean, in his creation, I've never seen anything so beautiful. We were way almost 13,025 feet because we were going to the top of that mountain and we were in the cable car. And the view that we had, and it was in the summertime, so you did get to see a lot of the green and the flowers and the color, but then the snow as well. So everything, we were blessed to see it all. And I was just, but as soon as I opened my eyes and I saw what I saw, that fear was gone. So we got to the top, and it took us into this restaurant, and it was all glass as well. And then they said we could walk out in the snow and look where the skiers ski. And so we walked out, which shocked me that I could do it, but we walked out and we went over to the edge, pretty close, and there were signs everywhere. There were signs saying ski at your own risk, professional skiers only, you know, things like that. But I was able to do that. I was able to walk out and enjoy that. But God set me free during that trip of that spirit of fear that tormented me. And I just, you know what happened? It wasn't just that he set me free, but I knew that it was God that did it. It wasn't me. I knew that it was the Lord that did that for me. And when it was all said and done, I realized he had set me up. He had set me up. You know why he set me up? Because he loves me so much. He loves me so much that he went to the trouble of making sure my husband won that trip. He blessed his socks off with sales. He was selling insurance at the time. So that he could win that trip. So that his little, much afraid little girl could be set free from all that fear. He set me up. And I thank God he did that. Now, it was hard. It was scary. But I got free. And I knew his love in a more profound way than I ever had before. So again, he touched me. I was touched by God. I was touched by his love. I only got 5 minutes. I've got so much more to say, but I can't say it. So much more to share. But I think the message that the Lord wants to get to everybody, including me, that he has wanted to show me all these years and continues to teach me. He wants me to mature in his love. He wants me, you know, I do want to read the scripture, one of my favorite scriptures in Ephesians. It's the prayer of the Apostle Paul that he prayed for the saints. And are you a saint? If you're born again, you're a saint. And it says in Ephesians 3:14-20, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." I want to read it in the Message. I know the Message is not a translation, but sometimes I like to see how it words things. And I really liked this. "I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us." Hallelujah. That, you know, God wants me and all of his children to fulfill the plan and the purposes that he has for our lives. But I don't believe that we can do that until we believe that he loves us with a perfect love, with an unconditional love. And we accept that love. We receive that love. We walk in that love. We know that it's ours. We make it very personal. You know, you got to do that. You got to make it very personal, or you're not going to have it. You're not going to mature in it. And he wants us to mature in that love. And as we mature in that love, then we will be able to do the works of Jesus. Remember when Jesus had his earthly ministry, and you know, one scripture says that he went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. That's what he did. Do you think he did that because He had the power to do it?
Well, he did have the power to do it.
But that's not why he did it. He did it because he loved those people. He loved them. Many times the scriptures will say, and he, Jesus, was moved with compassion and he healed them. He was moved with compassion. That means he loved them. He was concerned for them. He wanted to see them completely whole because he loved them. And when we get a hold of that truth, that revelation of that kind of love, then we will be moved with that same kind of compassion when we see someone hurting, when we see someone, you know, in bondage, oppressed by the devil, when we see someone sick, that compassion will rise up. And it's that love that causes that power of God to be released. And it's the power of God that heals them. It's the power of God that sets them free. But it operates through that love, that perfect love of God. And that's the plan for my life, and that's the plan for your life, is that we love, that we receive God's love, and then we release God's love to others. That's why we're here. That's why we're still here. Otherwise, we'd be with Him in heaven. But there's a lot of hurting, lost people. There's a lot of wounded, so many wounded people that need that inner healing, that need to know that God loves them unconditionally. They've beaten themselves up many times because of what they've done, and they don't believe that God loves them. But we can let them know. But if we don't believe it, how can we let them know that God loves them? We can't really. We got to believe it. And it's the truth, and it's woven throughout the Word of God. It starts, I think I've heard it called the scarlet thread. Throughout the Bible, it's God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world. He loved us so much that He gave us His perfect Son, Jesus, to give His life for us, though we didn't deserve it. But He loved us that much. And it's all throughout the Bible. And God wants us to know that. And so, it's my journey, but it's your journey too. That's our journey, is to know the love of God and then to release that love to the world. Amen? Well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the Word that teaches us, that tells us of Your love, that You are love. And Lord, we are just so grateful for Your Word. We thank You for the experiences in life that You've taught us, how much You love us. We thank You, Lord, even when You put the newborn baby in our arms. Oh, that is a moment that we know how You love us. Lord, we can go outdoors and just enjoy nature and know a God that loves us gave us this. You didn't have to paint the world in the beautiful colors that You used, but You did because You loved us. Lord, my prayer this morning is for all of us, everyone here, including myself, that You would continue to give us such revelation of the truth of Your wonderful, powerful, eternal, perfect, unconditional love for us, and that You would help each one of us individually to make it very personal. Show us how, Lord, to make it so personal that we know that we know that we know that we are loved by God. We are accepted by God. We are His beloved. Thank You for doing that in each one of our hearts and lives, Lord. And I pray the same thing for the children, Lord, that are back there in the rooms. Lord, that You would touch their lives like You touched mine. Lord, start today touching their lives in a very profound way that they would know Your love for them personally. And we give You praise for that, Lord. We love You. We bless You. We thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.